Hello, and welcome to another episode of From the Lower Level. I'm your host, Patrizio. Life is a runway, and I am ready to walk it alone. This week, unfortunately, Moshi couldn't make it with us, so it's just me shooting the shit and talking the Real Housewives of Atlanta and the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. But as always, we're going to get into the word on the street. So for this week, we found out that on the Real Housewives of New Jersey has just started filming. They held their first group event today or in the last couple of days. And it was some sort of like 80s inspired roller skating rink sort of event. They're all in fluoro. But I think the biggest gag from them starting filming was we found out that Tracy Johnson was there. Moshi and I talked last week about the fact that Tracy was a completely cut out of the reunion. And I mean, Jackie this week came out with some crazy story about how unfortunately like Tracy was there and she was really great for the show, but she didn't really have that much value to add, I guess, to the reunion. And that's why her parts weren't showing, because, you know, I guess her storyline that really didn't exist was all wrapped up. So to see her at this group event, it's very interesting. But as we know, with all of these Housewives franchises, they always kind of test out the ladies to sort of see, you know, how they're going and if they've got a storyline there and all the rest of it. So we know there were two other newbies that were there filming. Jackie was there as well. And it was interesting that we had Frank Catania come out this week and confirm that Jackie will just be a friend of. Because as we know, these ladies kind of like to, you know, say that they've got a contract but not really confirm or deny sort of their status or whether they're a full-time, in this case, turnpike holder until sort of like the show is ready to air. In some more sort of like interesting tea this week that we had come out, word on the street is in Beverly Hills, we've heard this for a while, that Kathy Hilton has some sort of like major disagreement with some of the women on the show and then didn't show up to the final episode filming, which was a party in typical Beverly Hills fashion. And there's been a lot of speculation, a lot of rumor around sort of like what happened that Kathy Hilton was no longer like showing up to these events. And I think we kind of discussed it like quite a few weeks ago now. The word on the street was that Kathy Hilton unfortunately made a very homophobic slur towards Sutton's PA while they were on this trip. But the new tea that's come out this week, the word on the street is that when they are on this group trip to Aspen, Kathy Hilton made both a racist and a homophobic slur against two separate people, the staff at the venue that they were at. She ends up going back to Kyle's house in Aspen and basically has a full tantrum, like meltdown, and ends up revealing that she hates Kyle, whatever that means. In the next couple of days, she then sends cease and desists to the media, telling them not to talk about what had gone down, and definitely had followed up with the ladies as well, saying that she didn't want it discussed. Lisa Rinna at the time, we know, was posting these like really vague and cryptic stories on her Instagram about how, you know, ooh, we're back to doing cease and desist again, obviously in the Denise Richards fashion. But yeah, this is very interesting to hear. Apparently, Erica Jane talks about it in her confessionals. Like, will it even make it to the show? I'm assuming, yes, it will, because this is like spicy. But I guess, will we know the full reason for the meltdown? Are they actually going to shed light on if indeed Kathy Hilton did make any slurs against any of the staff? So I guess that's to be seen in the upcoming season. We also had this week in Real Housewives of Miami, Dr. Nicole Martin had her engagement party in Vegas. It was all gold and casino themed. Didn't see any of the other ladies in the photos, but perhaps they have not been released. It was another People magazine exclusive, which she did the same thing when she announced her engagement earlier this year. So it would be interesting to see in the next couple of days whether any photos come out with any of the other ladies that are in the cast. And perhaps Vegas is one of the cast trips because they are still filming in Miami for the next season. And just to round out the word on the street, we got sort of a hint this week that Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip, I mean, season 2 has not even aired yet, but it is coming up next month. But we found out that season 3 will potentially be filming in Thailand. And they kind of already casted it, which is really interesting to hear. We had some interesting names sort of thrown into the mix. There's sort of Heather from Salt Lake City. But the big one for me was the Beverly Hills ladies. Apparently, Kim Richards was cast for this one. And as a result, Lisa Rinna was also invited to be on the cast. But she said that she would not be in attendance if Kim Richards would be on the cast. So we know Rinna is out. And apparently Erica Jane was too expensive to be on the cast, which I don't really understand why Erica Jane would be denying a paycheck right now, given all of her legal woes and the fact that her alleged sugar daddy dumped her because she was asking for the cash a little too often. That's just the word on the street. But to be seen whether any of this is true. It'd be really interesting to see if we can get some confirmation. I think some of the other names for Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip Thailand was also Stephanie Holman from Dallas, and like I said, Heather. There was a few of the other women. So I'm really interested to see if anything else sort of comes out in the next couple of weeks. That's the word on the street for this week. So we're going to get into the deep dive of this week's episodes of Real Housewives of Atlanta and Beverly Hills. Of course, first up, I'm going to talk Real Housewives of Atlanta. It's season 14. It's episode number 4. And we're headed to the Big Apple because Candy has her production that she's working on. She's invited the whole crew, partners included, to New York to see the show. And I guess this is our first cast trip of the season 2. Just to mix it up a little bit this way, given that I don't have anyone to sort of riff off with me, because Moshi will be back again next week, I thought I'm going to do it in a candy-coated freak factor rundown. So I am going to rank these ladies in the level of freakiness and also just their participation in this week's episode. So I'm going to get straight into it. At number 6, on the candy-coated freak factor rundown, it is Sanya. You know, Sanya, she's kind of been, you know, really like in the episodes the last couple of weeks. But to be honest, this was a pretty quiet week for her. I think the only interesting thing that we found out this week was that she is a member of the Mile High Club. Unfortunately, I feel like I'm going to have to agree with Drew Sidora on this one, that I really don't see Sanya having sex anywhere outside her bed. But I would be happy to be proven wrong. Next up on the list is at number 5 is Sheree. Sheree had a pretty quiet week as well this week. But I feel that the tension and her storyline is sort of building up. Obviously, she's got her jail lovebird, Tyrone. He's in the halfway house right now. We find out that he can't really travel that far from where he is. I think it was like 100 miles or something, which really isn't that far. But it does include New York City in his radius. So that means that Sheree will be able to meet up with him in New York. Hopefully he'll be able to like join the crew for some sort of like cast dinner or whatever it will be. He just has to be in bed by 9 p.m. So nothing really happened. We're sort of getting the hints of sort of like what's happening next with Sheree. And to be honest, it really doesn't look all too promising. We saw the preview for next week. She's sort of like waiting for Tyrone to show up at some sort of like cafe or restaurant. So I guess that's what's coming up next for Sheree. Next on the list at number 4 is Marlo Patrice Hampton. The way she confused me this week by saying the Hamptons, and I thought she was in New York State at the Hamptons, but she's actually referring to her homestead that she is building. I mean, she's sort of got this weird thing going on this week where she is showing you how rich she is. Because we are at this empty plot of land where she is building her mansion for her and her two boys, her nephews. And she had the plans out. She was talking the figures and the square footage. And she was laying out those plans on the Rolls Royce. But then she was also very quick to sort of say that, you know, she doesn't have the money to sort of have exactly what she wanted. And she really feels that the other women are counting her dollars. But I will say the one thing that I really respect about Marlo and her build is that the closets are bigger than the bedrooms themselves. I feel like Kenya and Sheree really were a bit like unsure of this concept, but I feel like it makes a lot of sense. Like at the end of the day, your bedroom just needs a bed, and I don't know if you like maybe a TV if that's sort of like your vibe, maybe an armchair to do some reading, a lamp, but that's it. Then you have your massive closet, which you have everything there. You're going to have drawers, rails, you're going to have your shoe rack. And this lady, she's the woman of the fashion. She needs a huge closet. But she hasn't just done it in the main bedroom. She's done it in every single bedroom in the house, which I'm not too sure about that in terms of execution, but I have respect for the bigger closet compared to the bedroom. So Candy does ask the women to justify why they deserve to have the second penthouse in the New York accommodation, and they all have to share a freaky sex story, and Candy will choose the best one to be able to grab that penthouse suite. And Marlo tells a story about how a giraffe watched her have sex and then licked her neck while she was making love. And I wish Moshi was here this week, because if there is any more evidence that we need that Marlo was the one that wrote the card at the tea party that said Candy was sucking dick in the locker room, I mean, the lies are of the same poor, like, thought through process. Marlo, just, that was never going to be believable, as was Candy sucking dick in the locker room. And really, that was just an excuse to say sucking dick in the locker room multiple times. Next on the list, at number 3, I'm giving it to Candy. I mean, I loved the freaky bondage couple that came to deliver the invitations to New York and the vibrating panties that the women are going to have to bring on the trip, which, I mean, it's candy-coated items. They're from her range. Kenya gets a pair, which I would really love Candy to explain who gets to control the remote for Kenya's vibrating panties. But the bondage couple were so hot. That lady had her like huge tits out. Kenya asked her if she was cold. This woman said she wasn't. Like, I don't know how, but they looked amazing. And we love a woman dominatrix bringing the man on the leash as well. Well played, Candy, showing Marlo how to actually send an invite. The other sort of interesting thing in this episode, which I guess isn't really freak factor unless you believe the rumors about what Marvin, aka Todd, is up to when he goes to New York and New Jersey, is this New Jersey apartment that Candy feels like is an ex-girlfriend's present that he's re-gifting to her. I mean, Candy is really quick to try and offload this apartment, but, you know, my family used to have a saying, always buy, never sell. Candy, you've got an apartment in New Jersey. Just keep it. You don't need to get rid of it. Do it up, make it look nice. You know, maybe the kids can sleep in it, use it, live there when they're visiting or living in New York. There's nothing wrong with it. Just keep it in the portfolio. And that's what Todd's thinking as well. But I definitely did not see this place as some sort of bachelor pad that Todd is bringing back women to. I mean, it looked in real disrepair. It's obviously unfurnished. And it was also a really weird vibe that they brought the women to this apartment as a part of the trip, just so Candy could get some like validation on how she's feeling about it. Weird, but okay. The next person on the list, we're up to number two now, is Drew Sidora. I mean, look, I hope that they have the craziest makeup sex, because they have a lot of issues. And they really let it all hang out in this episode. We got the therapy session with Dr. Ken, who the internet is not happy with. The internet is not happy with Dr. Ken. They think he's biased. They think he's not doing a great job. I mean, who really knows for sure? But they are going on this 30-day challenge to not fight or disrespect each other, which you can just tell is going to be broken very, very quickly. And the person who breaks it gets to have whatever they want. And I think this is why the internet is unhappy with Dr. Ken, because then Dr. Ken's like, if Ralph wants sex all day long, then that's what he gets. So if you don't want to do that, don't disrespect him during the 30 days. Unfortunately, I agree. I think it was Sheree that said it. They are going to be on the 30-day challenge for a very long time. Because at this dinner that they have at the end of the episode, I don't know how it can not turn into some disrespect. But that does lead me to the number one candy-coated freak in this episode. obviously the only lady left. It's the MVP. It is Kenya Moore. Honestly, the way she told this story about the coyotes and the trail of blood and making love in the cavern, it was absolute bullshit, but it was believable up to the point where they went into the cavern. Kenya does award her with the penthouse though, so props to Kenya for telling a reasonably plausible story, unlike Marlo. But you know, I think for this episode, look, what we learned is, first of all, give Kenya a renovation show. She was brought in by Marlo because she has good ideas. She knows what she's talking about. She was like testing the builder's knowledge as well, which I really like to see, because you kind of need to know that the builder knows their stuff, know what they're talking about, and can answer the tough questions. But I think, and then obviously as well, she gave advice on Todd's apartment too. You know, 10 to 15K on the bathroom, you're blocking off a wall, you're putting in a fireplace, you're opening up the kitchen, you're putting the accordion style doors, got the rooftop. But yeah, her idea is going to cost $100,000, which I don't really know. Candy already doesn't want this apartment. Is she going to spend $100,000 on the renovation? I'm not convinced. But Kenya, I think the most interesting part of this episode was how she goes into bat for Drew and supports her against Ralph. And I feel like this is like where we are starting to see this like sisterhood that, you know, they keep sort of teasing us with, that they keep sort of saying, you know, this season was all about sisterhood and, you know, supporting one another, and, you know, that it's been a successful season because the group text has kept going and all the rest of it. And, you know, it was really like nice to see Kenya stand up and support Drew at this dinner against Ralph, who, like, let's be honest, is a jerk. And you can obviously tell, though, that Kenya is very much informed by her relationship with her ex, Mark. And, you know, sees a lot of parallels. And perhaps that's the reason why Drew and Kenya, like, did not get along last season as well. I think it's, like, that classic, you know, trope, I guess, we see with a lot of housewives that feud is that they are more similar than they think, that they sort of see the trauma, they see the, you know, the parallel lines in another housewife's life with their own. And she really gave it to Ralph. But I mean, I also did love that she also called Drew out for her shit and dragged her a little bit as well, by saying, you know, that she really tries to hold on to things and, you know, that she is hard work herself. But you know, it was a really great moment. I love to see it. And, you know, let's see if this peace continues between Kenya and Drew in the next coming episodes. So that is my Candy Coated Freak ranking for this week. I'm going to take a quick break. And when I come back, we're going to get into the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I'm going to power rank them as well this week and see how I'm feeling about each of these women. All right, I'm back from the break and here to talk about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. It's episode 3 of season 12. And in a much the same way as I went through the Ladies of Atlanta, in a bit of a ranking, I'm going to do the same this week with the Beverly Hills women. This one is just a straight up power ranking, and it's just based on this episode. So I'm not informed by anything that's happened in this season so far. This is purely how I feel these women have brought it to this episode, where they're at in this episode. And let's get straight into it. Got 8 ranks to get through. So at the bottom of the heap, number 8 is going to Erica Jane Girardi. And I really hope that her attitude changes at some point in this season, because I will say there are 2 things that are not cute. First of all, the feud is sudden. The way that Erica is just ready to make a move and pounce on Sutton at any opportunity she gets. And it's not even if she says anything. It's just those looks that she gives while Sutton is talking, while Sutton's got an opinion, while Sutton is breathing. Erica just cannot coexist in the space. And that's fine. We're on Housewives. They don't have to get along. They can both just be there in the same room. But if this is going to be a one-note performance, especially when it comes to Sutton, it's just not something that I am particularly interested in exploring any further with Erica. I think she kind of like needs to get over it and give us something else. But I think the other thing that is not very cute on her, and we saw it this week, is the fact that Erica is looking for a sugar daddy, a sugar mama. She's looking for someone to pay the bills because she is ready to tell us about how she has very little money, which we all know is not the case. I mean, the fact that you can still have a PA and your glam squad, and okay, you're not doing the glam squad every single event anymore. They're not coming with you on the cast trips, but you still have them. So you are paying the bills, obviously. But it's that sort of, you know, she's out there wanting... she's wanting the lifestyle she can no longer afford that a lot of these other women do have, like Diana. And so the way that she straight up asked Diana for the Cartier ring, it was very uncomfortable to watch. The way that she's having to recycle her outfits as well, which, I mean, is obviously extremely sustainable. You know, she's obviously in a bit of a slump when it comes to her money right now. So it makes a lot of sense to be wearing some of the designer clothes that she didn't wear in the last 10 years. We're not talking about recycling looks from last season. And just being very unhappy about it and being really like sourpuss about it. It's just not a very cute look, especially when there are still questions around her alleged involvement or her alleged understanding of everything. I'm just going to say alleged one more time because my legal team, aka Moshi, is not here this week to keep me to task. So that's why Erica, unfortunately, is at the bottom of the ranking this week, because I was not amused. I'm not into it. And even though there are other women in the rankings this week, which literally brought us nothing, the way that Erica brought us something and it's not what I like, that's why she's ended up at number 8. Next on the list at number 7 is Kyle Richards again. There were other women who did far less than her, but she has landed in the 2nd from the bottom slot, mainly because she did a few things to piss me off. First of all, she invited Teddy to her clothes shop opening, which, like, Kyle, as the kids would say, I don't even think the kids say this anymore. Stop trying to make Teddy happen. Actually, the kids definitely don't say that anymore. That is like an outdated pop culture reference. First of all, I'm like, I didn't even recognize Teddy because she's rocking the Kyle Richards look these days, the brunette hair. And then we kind of never saw her face. We only got the back of the head, which I would like to thank the producers about. And then the only other reference that we got to Teddy, I think Garcelle was having a conversation with her. And again, Teddy wasn't even given like a full shot, and it was at the back of her head anyway. So that's strike number one against Kyle. The second strike would have to be the way that her dogs are just menaces. I mean, you'd think she would have trained these dogs or whatever, but the way that they ate the steak off Lisa Rinna's plate, outrageous. Like, these dogs, I mean, she only brought two of them as well. She got five. They need to be trained, but they're probably beyond training. They're probably too old at this stage. I mean, I know nothing about dogs. And again, Moshi is not here this week to educate me on dogs, but just leave your dogs at home. Don't bring them on the cast trip. Don't let them run around the golf course that's behind your house. It's just, it was too much for me personally. The third strike for me is that she just won't stop bringing up Dorito's home invasion. Like, the way that Dorito, at this point, we have to remember, timeline-wise, it's probably only, like, a week since the home invasion, where Dorito was held at gunpoint while her children were in the house and she was robbed of her possessions and literally begged for her life and her children's lives while her husband was out of town. And Kyle Richards just wants to keep bringing it up while Dorito is there as well. And I think that is the worst part and why she gets such a low ranking this week on the power index. I also love the fact that I have called it something different every single time I've referred to the ranking system. But it's just really traumatic, I'm sure, for Dorit to even just be in her own head at this point. The way that Kyle just has to keep saying, like, held at gunpoint, when Dorit was, like, robbed in her home. Like, Kyle needs to give it a rest. And Kyle should have some more empathy as well, because Kyle, although wasn't at home at the time, has also been burglarized. So, like, and she talks about it in this episode in the confessional. So I just don't understand why she's not just giving Dorito a bit of grace in this moment. But on empathy, I mean, Kyle just doesn't understand the dream team. The dream team being Garcelle, Sutton, and Crystal. Or she chooses not to. Or she doesn't understand them, and she's just starting drama. I don't know what it is, but I was very unimpressed with her ganging up on Crystal in the final scene of this episode. I was not happy that she just can't just let it go. Kyle, you have had your fun. Now let the mouse go. There was some story this week that Kyle Richards is thinking that she might not return to the show next season because it's all too much or whatever bullshit excuse she came up with. I mean, it could be fast approaching Kyle Richards' time to leave this show. And after her performance this week and her number 7 ranking, I'm inclined to agree. Number 6 on the list this week is Lisa Rinna. And those big lips did not really do any talking in this episode. And that's why she's in number 6. She's one of these characters this week that just, like, a bit missing in action. Which is fine. She can have an off week. She kind of disappeared during the main fight of this episode as well. So go get into her pajamas. I think she had, like, 4 different outfit changes in, like, the space of 6 hours. But I will give her props because I think she is probably one of the women who has been to therapy the most. And you can tell because I think she does understand what Crystal is trying to tell the other women. I think she's really good at trying to shut down the discussion once Crystal leaves as well, along with Erica. I will give Erica props for that. But yeah, just a little bit missing in action this week. That's fine, you can have an off week. But that's why she gets number six on the list. Not too far behind her, and to be honest, it could be a tie, but it is Dorito at number five. Again, she's had an off week, which is perfectly understandable. She's having panic attacks. She can't come straight away on this trip because, I think she's just so in her own head, as I said before. She's obviously still processing what has happened to her. But it definitely does seem that she continues filming because it is a good distraction for her, which is good for her, I think, to be, going to these scenes and, escaping from the reality of her life at the time. I will say what I didn't like in she did this with Kyle was really get into Crystal's personal space, and there was a real power position of her standing over Crystal, who was like sitting down while Crystal was being extremely vulnerable and telling the women how she wanted to leave because she didn't feel like she was in a safe space anymore. And I just didn't appreciate that. But again, quiet week for Dorito, so she's number five on the list. Number four on the list, and look, again, another one that really didn't have much to say or do on this episode, but it is Diana Jenkins. She had a big episode last week where we were introduced to her. And I feel like in this week, perhaps she was never going to be a full-time housewife at the beginning because it kind of just felt like she was a little bit on the sidelines. But we find out some, like, really interesting things about her this week. The way that she is allergic to going to shops, we find out that the clothes come to her. She takes what she wants and then pays them afterwards, which, I mean, when you're that rich, make the clothes come to you. I applaud that. But she is willing to get into the drama. She was already last week, but when the ladies are discussing Sutton, she is happy to let Sutton know that she's ready to call her out on her bullshit. But then I thought it was interesting that when Crystal and Sutton leave, Diana goes with them because they're all staying in a hotel and not at Kyle Richards' house. Sutton and Diana actually seem to be in like an okay place. And like Diana was kind of like, yeah, like you talk a lot of bullshit, Sutton. I don't think you really think through what you're saying, but you do apologize. And I can see you've made several apologies and you're kind of like trying to be, a good person at the end of the day. So I'm kind of curious to see where this relationship goes. I think, everyone thought that Diana was saying that, you needed a new villain to Sutton in the trailer. And perhaps that is the case, but maybe it's not. Maybe Diana's talking to someone else. And Diana and Sutton are actually an unbreakable pair. I doubt it though, but we shall see. And also just the fact that she's got no clue what star sign she is. Like the ladies of Virgo, like we've got the dates on the screen. She's definitely not a Leo. But she has had multiple astrologers tell her that she is not a Virgo and that she's in fact a Leo. And as Kyle said, I'm like, that's what she's been told, and let's just go with that then. But yes, again, Diana, very interesting. Didn't get a lot this week, but she brought it against Sutton. So that's why she's getting number four on the list. Speaking of Sutton, she's next on the rankings at number three. I mean, the ultimate part for her this week was the fact that she straight up apologizes to Dorito for being, you know, a little insensitive the day after the home invasion to Kyle Richards, which again, like, I don't even know why. Anyway, I think, you know, obviously Sutton knows that she is not great with her words when she's awkward in certain situations, and she just straight up messes it to Dorito. Love to see it. I just feel like Sutton, you know, her first season was a friend of, and she kind of was this Southern Belle. Last season, we kind of got the fancy Drew of it all, and she kind of starts to find her voice, but she had a bit of a lackluster reunion, which we were all shocked at. I remember we were all talking about how she was at the end of the couch, and we thought she would have had the seat next to Andy. But I feel like she's much more confident this season, and, you know, she is ready to sort of own who she is. And, you know, she said that she was empathetic towards Dorit, and she obviously has a lot of issues with guns, as we saw in that confessional, which, I mean, at the moment is a very topical issue. But, yeah, I don't know, interesting with Sutton. We'll see where that goes. Obviously, she's got the ongoing feud with Eric and Jane. I think we're probably leading up to some sort of, like, fashion event for her, or, like, interior design event, because, like, she's always, like, got these, like, designers that she's flying in from France and Austin and wherever else she's going. So, strong week for her, because she owned it. It's what Lisa Rinna wants, owning it. Number two on my ranking this week is to Crystal. And it's for a few reasons. One, she's kind of carving this bone collector role for herself. And maybe it's not a complete bone collector, because she had the cocktail event at her house. She had the ladies over for cocktails, and the discussion Kyle Richards starts about Sutton making the comments to Dorit comes up. And so when Crystal meets up with Sutton, she wants to sort of tell her what was discussed. So Sutton knew. And that's definitely what precipitated Sutton's apology to Dorit at the store opening events in Palm Springs. So, I kind of love this new role for Crystal. Again, she's another one that, like, in her last season, very much flew under the radar. We didn't get a lot from her until sort of the later part of the season. And she left a lot unturned. And I just feel like we're seeing a very different Crystal this season. And I'm really curious to see what happens there. You know, and it's, as Moshi would say, the peeling of the onion. She told us she loves an outlet. I mean, Diana Jenkins had never heard of these outlets out in the desert, but Crystal knows all about them. She never buys anything retail, and she's more than happy to wear something that's 2 or 3 years old. Love that about Crystal. She knows a good discount. But I think, obviously, why she ends up so high on the ranking this week is because she was extremely vulnerable with the other women. I think she was calling out the bad behavior from whatever's left of the Fox Force 5. She, you know, sees that there is definitely a hypocrisy there, that, you know, the newer ladies are held to a very different standard. That their feelings are sometimes not validated by the other women. And if they're not valid, or it's not something that they can understand, then they're not valid, right? That was a bit of a word mumble, but it was a very confusing thought process to get through on the show. I had to watch it a few times because I think the other thing is that it got convoluted really quickly by the women. And yeah, it was interesting. You can definitely tell that she goes to therapy because she was like very, very clear in her thoughts. She was talking about, you know, safe spaces and, you know, being triggered and all the rest of it. And you know what? Kyle kind of wanted to put it down to her being a millennial or whatever and complaining about things, but she's just very self-aware. She's very obviously in tune with her feelings, and you know what? She has every right to tell the women that she is going home because she doesn't feel like she is in a safe place at Kyle Richards' house. Again, she had to put up with Dorito and Kyle standing over her, and that again just puts her right up at number two on this week's power ranking. But that, of course, leads us to number one on the list this week, and it is Miss Garcelle Bouvet. This was a hard one because, you know, Crystal obviously had a huge week where she was extremely vulnerable. She, you know, really tried to school the other women and, you know, obviously it was a bit of a lost cause because they were never going to understand. But the reason why I have put Garcelle at number one is much the same way as last week. Garcelle, you can tell, is the power player of this season. And she gets it. She knows what her role is now, and she is fully in control. And we see that because when the women at Crystal's house want to talk about Sutton and she's not there because she's away on business, Garcelle's like, Sutton is not here, we're not going to talk about it unless she's here. And they have no choice but to leave the conversation there. And then when Sutton is there in La Quinta, Garcelle's like, Sutton is here, let's talk the shit. Even though I know that their apology was made at the store opening, let's bring the sudden bullshit up and just clear the air, and it's all done and dusted. So I am just loving to see what I'm calling like a changing of the guard. We're moving from the Fox Force 5 to the Dream Team, and Garcelle is the future of this show. You know, we have already discussed in the last couple of weeks about the fact that she brings her friend on, Cherie Zampino. So she's finally going to have some extra sort of like backup. But I think that also shows you too that when you are the one that brings a friend of on the show, and it's like a legit friendship too, it's not one of these like Crystal and Kathy Hilton relationships where, you know, Crystal said Kathy Hilton was her friend, but in fact, we've later learned that that's really a bit of like a porky pie. So Garcelle's bringing the real friend on the show. She is the power player. She is in charge. She is able to stop and start conversations. And I hate to say it, but like Lisa Rinna, like I think your era is over. And actually, I don't hate to say it. I love to say it. So that's why she gets the number one on the power ranking for this week of Beverly Hills. And that's a wrap. So I've just broken down how I'm feeling about these women. I thought that would be a really like great way to sort of break up how we usually do these episodes. Next week though, we are back. The Dream Team will be back. Moshi will be back on the mic. We have a whole bunch of new women coming on next week because we've got the Real Housewives of Dubai, which premieres next week, the 1st of June. And so we'll have the Atlanta, Dubai, and Beverly Hills Housewives to discuss. Let's just hope that Dubai delivers on what I think it can. As always, please rate, review, and subscribe. Follow us on the Instagrams at From the Low Level Pod, and we will catch you again next week. See you then.